Welcome back to the Nutrition and Life podcast. My name is Lisa, I'm your host, and in today's episode, I'm speaking with Dr. Derek Alessi from Strength Genesis. Derek and I speak about the benefits and uses of macadamia nut oil, the link between strength training and longevity, and the true foundation of health. I hope you enjoy the episode, and please, if you like this show, subscribe and give us a rating or take a screenshot and share the episode on your social media. Thank you so much. And as always, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we are your go-to coaches. Just hit the contact link in the show notes for more details. Now onto my conversation with Derek. Dr. Derek Alessi, welcome to the show.
Alisa, thanks for having me on.
It's my absolute pleasure. And in our pre-recording sort of chat, I could already tell I'm very excited to talk to you today about, well, your company, Strength Genesis, and just in general, picking your brain on all things sort of strength training, nutrition, health optimization, longevity, and so on. But to kick us off with, what's the number one thing you're excited for our listeners to learn today from our conversation?
I want them to get excited about the fact that getting fit, getting in shape, getting healthy is easy and it's in their hands. They need no one else and they can do it on their own and it's not as hard as you think it is.
Wonderful. I love that because, yeah, nothing holds us back more than victim mindset where we're just generally blaming other things or even just our genetics or whatever else it might be. But yes, tell us about your company, Strength Genesis. What do you stand for? What do you promote? What the philosophy is?
So Strength Genesis started as a labor of love, being a 30-year veteran as a health professional. So my background is my PhD is in exercise science. My master's degree is in nutrition. So when I look at how we got involved in Strength Genesis, what I was really looking for was the highest possible quality ingredients that I could get worldwide. In the last, I'm going to call it 10 to 15 years, access to far-reaching ingredients became more easy for smaller companies. No longer did you have to be a mega conglomerate company in order to get some really high-quality ingredients. So in doing so, I was looking at the ends of the earth of what I wanted to take personally in my health journey. So that's where it all started from. But then I had a second mission or submission to it as well, because for years of taking supplements, protein powders, different fish oil pills, other types of supplements, one thing that jumped off the page to me is the fact that we're consuming all of these good products in plastic. Now, plastic is a petroleum byproduct. It leaches into the food that we eat, the supplements we take. It gets into our body, which is not good at all for our overall health and fitness. In the minimum, it's going to help you increase your body fat, which most people don't want. But even worse than that, it's a precursor to a lot of bad diseases, such as heart disease, diabetes, and dementia, which has been on the rise. So I wanted to create a company in which we put things in sustainable packages. So everything that we package in is in either metal, glass, or paper, which is not just reusable and recyclable, but also doesn't leach petroleum byproducts.
Super, super cool. And one of the products that I'm most excited to hear about, because I truthfully don't know much about it, is your macadamia nut oil. So I assume it is high in monounsaturated fats. Tell me why you felt inspired to create this product and what health benefits we can take from that.
So a fun story about, I'm going to call it 9-10 years ago, I was reading Tim Ferriss's book, The 4-Hour Body. And Tim Ferriss wrote the whole 4-hour series of everything, 4-hour work week, 4-hour body, 4-hour chef. And in reading so, he mentioned this product that he called the new olive oil. That's how he termed it, the new olive oil. Now, it got my interest for the reason, the fact that I always considered olive oil a really good oil. And also, too, both sides of my family were from Italy, both sides, mother and father. So I consumed a lot of olive oil growing up. I consumed a lot of other bad things growing up, too. So he got my attention and he described why it was the new olive oil for really three reasons. Number one is olive oil is good because it has high amounts of the monounsaturated omega-3 and omega-9 fats, which are very good for our vessels, our heart, our brain, every cell in our body. So we knew olive oil was good for that reason. And this macadamia nut oil was even stronger and higher and more potent in those good omega fats. So that was number one. Number two is the fact that olive oil, although is a good oil, it's not a great cooking oil. Now, not a lot of people know that, but olive oil is not great for cooking. And the reason why is something called smoke point. See, olive oil will start breaking down at 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Now, if you're cooking and you're making vegetables, you're making eggs, you're making meat, you could easily exceed 350 degrees. In fact, it's not even hard to exceed 350 degrees. In fact, most ovens start at 350 degrees. So olive oil would break down and it would lose the potency of these good omega-3 fatty acids. And then furthermore, if it becomes smoked, the oil becomes blackened, which then could potentially become carcinogenic, the opposite of why you took olive oil in the first place. So that was the second reason. The third reason that he called it the new olive oil is because when you taste olive oil can be a little bit bitter and a little bit bland. Now, this Australian macadamia nut oil tasted buttery and nutty. So if you have it, it feels almost like when grandma used to cook the vegetables in the butter, or mom used to make the eggs in the butter. It had that taste. So for all three reasons, it really outperformed olive oil. So I bought a bottle online and fell in love with it. And then from there, I did something crazy. I bought like a couple dozen bottles and I started giving them out to my best clients in our clinic as like a little perk or a little gift, which inevitably led to, can you get me more of this stuff? So for about a year, year and a half, I kept buying more of this and reselling and wholesaling it to my clients. And then all of a sudden, I had a harder and harder time getting a supply of it. So I contacted the distributor and they unfortunately didn't have more stock and they told me they weren't going to get in anytime soon. So being frustrated, I picked up the phone one day and I called the refinery in Queensland, Australia. And I said, hey, I'm looking to get more olive oil or more macadamia nut oil. Where can I get it? And they said, well, we lost our US distributor. They're no longer going to carry it. Would you like to be the distributor? And my answer was no. Not at all. I just want to buy some for myself. I don't want to supply stores or anything like that. I'm just trying to buy it for myself. Can I just buy oil from you? And they said, yes, you can buy oil from me. They said, how much are you looking for? And I said, I don't know, maybe 10, 12 dozen bottles. So maybe 100 bottles, 120 bottles. And Lisa, I hear crickets on the other end. And they said, sir, we only sell this by the metric ton. The metric ton. Now, I didn't know how many bottles that would be, so I started doing the math and it was over 2,200 bottles. And I said, okay, so if I buy the oil from you, you'll send me 2,200 bottles. And they said, no. We're going to send them to you in a big tub. And I said, I could buy a big tub of oil. They said, well, do you have an import license? And I said, no. They said, well, you need that. And I said, well, then I could buy the tub. And they said, well, do you have a bottler? And I said, no. Well, you need a bottler. Do you have bottles? And I said, no, I don't buy. Well, you got to buy bottles. And I said, well, then I could do it. And they said, well, do you have an FDA approved label? And I said, I don't have any of these things. So basically, they walked me through the 71 most important things that I needed to know about this process. And that was just the beginning of it. And we started bringing in this Australian macadamia nut oil that we call liquid gold. And just to kind of fast forward, we've probably brought in 300 metric tons since then. So this is a product when people use it, when people start cooking with it, they don't want to cook with anything else. It does become their new favorite oil.
Wow. I'm literally kind of blown away. I mean, great to hear about the higher smoke point. I think that's like my main takeaway, aside from obviously the great flavor. I can only imagine what it tastes like because I'm a big lover of like almond butter or cashew butter. So I would assume this has like a similar sort of sort of sweet, nutty, obviously, flavor. My question, this might be a silly question, but is there also a difference in terms of like extra virgin, whatever, like there is with olive oil and even coconut oil?
You know, it's not a silly question at all. It's an excellent question. The answer is yes, there is, because there's two different types of cuts you can get of this. So just like olive oil, which is considerably, I mean, by a factor of like a million bigger industry than macadamia nut oil, it's not even close, but it still goes based upon the growing conditions and if it's been tampered with or how premium it is in the process. So when you get an extra virgin, whether it's macadamia nut oil, olive oil, or any oil for that matter, you're getting a higher cream of the crop. You're getting a higher seasonal thing. It's got more flavor. It's been on the vine. It hasn't been picked. It hasn't been sitting as long. All of those things that we know about olive oil is identical with the Australian macadamia nut oil.
Oh, okay, great. And I mean, as much as I love Australia, I've been there a couple of times and stayed for several months, and I have eaten Australian macadamia nuts, very, very delicious. Nonetheless, the question comes up: are there no good macadamia nut slash macadamia nut oil providers within the US or at least the Americas? I could imagine, South America, Central America, or something potentially as well.
There's three major places that macadamia nut oil is produced in, and they would include Australia and Hawaii and South Africa are the three places. So what I've done is I've gone around all three of them getting large amounts of oil from all three. And a little bit of a I'll cut to the chase. The South African tastes burnt. It tastes like it's been through the catalytic converter of an old car. It's hard to take. It really is. It's very harsh. Hawaiian isn't bad, but it's thinner. It's not as thick. It's not as goldeny. It's not as rich tasting. So then it becomes the profiles are very similar, but the consistency, the richness, and the taste is a little bit different because I really wanted to get it from Hawaii more so than Australia. But they're not as complex in Hawaii. They don't use the same refinery methods. And the other part about this is, in Australia, where we get it, it's cold pressed. So they're doing it at very low temperatures to keep the integrity of the omega fatty acids. Whereas in the refineries I dealt with in Hawaii and in South Africa, they weren't cold pressing it. They were heating it up to extract it, which is a quicker and faster way to do it. It's a cheaper way to do it, but it doesn't keep the properties as well. So all of those reasons, we looked at Australia as being the primary source, not just because Tim Ferriss said so.
Those are very good reasons. And I do believe I know the answer, but I want to clarify for the listeners. Does this oil have the same macronutrient profile slash calorie profile as extra virgin olive oil or butter or whatever? Meaning, is it also, per tablespoon, roughly 120 calories or so? Or what can we expect there?
Yeah, so every oil, every fat will be the same in regarding the nutritional breakdown. So the calorie count, the serving, one tablespoon is exactly it. 120 calories, all the calories are going to come from fat. There's no protein in it, there's no carbohydrates in it whatsoever. It's interesting that you say that, though, because sometimes customers will comment and say, oh, it seems like this oil is so high in fat. Well, it's 100% fat, just like olive oil. It's a 100% oil. It's a 100% fat. Yes, there's no protein. There's no carbs in it whatsoever. It's a fat. Some people that ask the question though are still of that older mindset that fat is something they should eliminate. So if you're a little bit older, you remember the low fat, no fat days, which anybody like under 40 right now has probably no idea what we're talking about. But for a long period of time, some people, tried the low fat, no fat diet. And for that reason, it's still in their mind, oh, I'm having oil, I'm having butter, I'm having macadamia nut oil. It's too high in fat. It's good fat. You need it. Your brain will respond to it. It'll fuel your body. You will not get fat from it.
Wonderful. I just wanted to clarify the calorie content here. You mentioned before we started recording that you also show purchasers or anyone who wants to try this product, whether it's from you or somewhere else, how to use macadamia nut oil, because some people might think, oh, what other than for frying stuff can I use it? So maybe you can share with us what type of cookbooks or however you would use the macadamia nut oil in your cookbooks.
Yeah, so it's extremely versatile. So you can not just cook with it, you could also bake with it, you could also fry with it, you could also saute with it. In fact, I'm in Buffalo, New York, and Buffalo, New York is known as being the home of the chicken wing. We've made chicken wings, put it in the deep fryer, and we've deep fried chicken wings, buffalo wings, in this macadamia nut oil. Now, mind you, that's not what they do in Buffalo. They use garbage vegetable oil, and that's how they make it. It's very inexpensive. But we wanted, obviously, the same type of feel, and the taste is phenomenal. It's great. If you're cooking eggs, if you're cooking vegetables, if you're cooking meats, and/or if you are baking, it's so high heat stable and so delicious and versatile. You can use it for all those applications. If you go right now to strengthgenesis.com, I have a book, and it's called Cooking with Gold. Cooking with Gold. We have both the hardcover and an ebook version. The ebook version is free. So you can go there, get the ebook version, And in there, we have over 30 delicious recipes. So breakfast, lunch, dinner, sides, and snacks, all of which you can download and you can utilize it to make your recipes, all of which will help you improve your health. They're all low glycemic. So if you're looking to drop body fat, if you're worried about your blood sugar, blood pressure levels, it's all very helpful for those. It's called Cooking with Gold, and it's at strengthgenesis.com.
Super cool, especially the free ebook. Thank you so much. I mean, that's a wonderful resource. And of course, I will link all your handles in the show notes. But I could imagine that it even tastes delicious in a smoothie or even mixed into oats. Like I don't actually use a lot of oil for cooking, and with most of our clients, since most of them aim to lose some body fat, we do try to keep added oils or cooking oils and so on to a minimum. So, but nonetheless, as you mentioned, we do need fat, we need oils, healthy fats anyway. And so sometimes I like to incorporate, almond butter or something into my oats. And I could imagine the macadamia nut oil would add a lovely taste, and of course, micronutrients to that as well.
It certainly will. So I have another story too, because a woman in our clinic, and she's well, maybe about 65 years of age, and we do sell a product called MCT oil. We have this organic, high octane MCT oil, and if you don't know about MCT oil, it comes from coconuts, and it's the middle chain or medium chain triglyceride that comes from the coconut, and it's extremely beneficial for two things. Number one is it prevents against dementia. And number two, it helps people burn more fat because it puts them in ketosis. So it's something we encourage in the clinic to use the high octane organic MCT oil. But this woman, and her name was Roseanne, wouldn't use it. And I asked her one day, why are you not putting MCT oil in your coffee? And she said, because it doesn't add to flavor of the coffee. In fact, it's very bland. It doesn't change the taste at all, which a lot of people like. But she said, what I've been doing is I've been putting the Australian macadamia nut oil in my coffee. And I said to her, I have never heard anybody say that before. She said, it's delicious. I said, really? Because I always put MCT oil in my coffee. So I went back and I tried it. And it may not give you all the properties that MCT oil does, as I mentioned, for anti-dementia, brain clarity, cognitive function, and fat loss. But the taste, Lisa, the taste is ridiculous. It is so good in coffee. So if you think of like macadamia nuts or the oil from it in like a cup of coffee, it's delicious. It's really good that way too. So yes, in coffee, in tea, in your protein shake, in your overnight oats, whatever you're making, in your yogurt, there's a lot of different things that you could put it in, and it enhances the taste.
Oh, that sounds absolutely amazing. I was just thinking of like a hazelnut something coffee, and yes, that sounds even better.
Yeah, that's it.
But
That's
something
exactly it.
to kind of build on what you mentioned in terms of brain health, that brings me to another product that I'm passionate about, and that is creatine. And I know that you sell that as well. So maybe you can share why you think that is beneficial for most people, or if you think it is beneficial for most people, and why it's in your registry, so to speak.
So I'm going to bring you back to 1992. 1992 was the first time I started taking creatine, and I was either in college or I might have been in grad school at that point. And I took it because I wanted to build muscle, which is why it first came on the market. So athletes were taking it, bodybuilders, fitness enthusiasts were taking creatine because creatine monohydrate does a couple things. First and foremost, it does lead to hydration with inside your muscle cell, which part of your ATP production will lead to better endurance during your workouts. So all of a sudden you start developing this better endurance, which then means you're able to do more work during the workout, which then means you can build more muscle tissue, and it also helps you with recovery too. So it was very popular amongst, as I mentioned, athletes, fitness enthusiasts, bodybuilders 30 years ago. Fast forward to now. Not that that group isn't taking it anymore, but all of the research now is being done on older adults, being done on people with diabetes, and being done with people with cognitive decline, all of which creatine helps as well. Now, in case you don't know, creatine is natural inside your muscle tissue, so you do have it in there anyway, and you are taking more in when you're taking in protein sources. So when you're eating chicken and fish and turkey and beef and pork and eggs and things like that, you're getting creatine in there. But when you take it in higher amounts just by itself, without the calories from the protein and everything else, that's where you could really see the benefits and advantages. So for a while, what we were doing in our clinic was we were giving our clients who are all the age 45 years and up. So I work with older people in general. In fact, the oldest I've ever worked with was 97 years of age, but we have 32 people above 70 right now. So we're not working with kids per se. We started trying to get them to put creatine powder in their protein drink. And the ones that did do it did see the benefit from it, but most people wouldn't do it because it was inconvenient. You're asking them to take this powder that's very bland tasting and put it in something, and they would forget to do it. So what we decided to do was this is we decided to put it into a gummy. It had to be a sugar-free gummy because I'm very insistent about losing body fat and you don't want to take in more sugar. So we put it in a sugar-free gummy. We started having people take it. It tastes like Starburst. They take four of them a day. They can take them as a snack. They can take them post-workout. They can take them pre-workout. They can take them whatever they want, as long as it's in their bloodstream. And they love it because they see it as, once again, as a snack, as a treat, but also too, it helps them get stronger and it does provide instant energy. So for all of those reasons and so much more, I'm the same as you. I could talk about creatine all day long. There are so many benefits that we're finding out about it. It's the number one supplement that's been researched of all time, which is just fantastic.
So great that you're highlighting how beneficial it is also outside of the muscle building space, because I do think for a long time it was just thought of as if you want to gain muscle or if you want to be stronger, that's when you take it. But other than that, there was not much research out there in regards to any other benefits. And what I like about your product so much as well is that it's sugar-free, because I know several people exactly like you, they don't want to take it as powder, or it blo actually bloats them if they take it in powder form all at once, and so they'd rather have it in smaller in chewables, is what I've heard so far. But almost all the chewables I have found online so far, they contain sugar, and so this is great that well, number one, it seems to taste great, and number two, it's sugar free, so absolutely love it. And just one last sort of product I want to pick your brain on, because we have so much else to talk about also. But what just caught my interest was your beet. Is it a powder or is it a beetroot capsula? What is it, and why is it beneficial?
Well, we do use the beetroot powder inside our apple cider vinegar gummies,
Oh,
right?
okay.
So I don't have a beet product by itself. We don't have a sole beet product, but we do use beet powder inside the apple cider vinegar gummies for a couple reasons, is because we wanted that natural color and we wanted the taste of it inside there. So that's why we incorporated it into it. And also, too, it does take down the harshness of the apple cider vinegar or the vinegar part of it. So it's easier to take in. And that's also a sugar-free product too. Once again, just to back up like a half a step, we used to sell this very popular apple cider vinegar liquid. It was the actual apple cider vinegar. Fantastic product. It was all with mother. It was all raw. It was all organic. It was an amazing product. But the problem is, just kind of like the creatine, compliance was low because drinking vinegar isn't fun. It's harsh. Even I had a hard time getting it down, and I'm a person that could pretty much will myself to do anything, and I was struggling with it. So we looked at changing that into a gummy as well, but once again, had to be sugar-free. It had to taste decent too. So we wanted to make sure all of those boxes were checked. And then also too, I should mention this about Strength Genesis. I have a saying that I only make what I personally take. So everything that I have on there, whether it's the macadamia nut oil, the high octane MCT oil that we're talking about, the creatine chews, the sugar-free apple cider vinegar gummies, are all things that I wanted for myself. Ridiculously selfish person. I wanted these things for myself. They didn't exist in the form that I wanted them. So we went to work and we did it. And then from there, what I thought, of course, is that we would have others take it as well. And hopefully they're enjoying it because it's been our pleasure trying to deliver these things to them. It's fun doing the research on this stuff.
That's awesome. Again, great why. And I think the same applies to coaches or doctors. If you have a strong driver, like personal passion or interest in something, you're able to deliver so much of a better service or product because you truly care about it, and you have probably benefited or are benefiting from it as well. So, very, very great to hear that. And again, sort of building on that, because you mentioned you can will yourself into doing anything. That brings me to another question that I wanted
Most things, mostly, mostly,
to ask.
most things.
Pretty much anything you put your mind to, maybe, perhaps. But yeah, so that brings me to another question or another topic I wanted to talk to you about, and that is just in general strength training, or doing hard things like that, and why we should do incorporate strength training into our training regime under the lens of longevity, but of course also aesthetic purposes and strength and so on.
So when you ask somebody, where are calories burned? And you get all these different answers. You get, well, it's burned in your heart. It's burned in your brain. It's burned in your gut. The only place in our body where we burn calories is in our muscle tissue. So there's something called the metabolic equation. Every 1 pound of muscle on a human body is responsible for burning between 35 to 50 calories per day. That's why there are different genetic advantages when you think about it. A tall person will always have more muscle. They'll have a faster metabolism than a shorter person. A younger person, in general, will have a faster metabolism than an older person. And men, in terms of gender, will have more skeletal muscle mass, have a faster metabolism than a woman. So those are the reasons why. Okay, so it's based upon muscle. Now, we start losing muscle tissue after we hit our genetic peak. So, women about age 22 to 25, men maybe a little bit later, 25 to 28. You don't recognize it at age 29, but by 39, you probably do. By 49, you're wondering what happened. By 59, you're thinking, what's the use? We're losing muscle. We're losing metabolism. We're not burning as much. We're gaining body fat. We're not moving as well because muscle also equals movement. We're losing bone density. We're losing cartilage, tendon, connective tissue. Our balance isn't as good. Our coordination isn't good. Our stabilization is starting to go. We're losing our confidence because of all of it. So the common denominator is we have to see what we're losing and minimally try not to lose it. But hopefully, even more so than that, how could we reclaim it? Now, a lot of people are saying, well, you don't understand, Dr. Derek. I'm already 60. I'm already 70. I'm already 80. I'm already 90 years of age. Understood. So it's not going to come back as quickly than if you were 30 or 35 or 40. I get that. But it still can be worked at any age. At any age, muscle tissue will respond. Okay. So that's super important. Now, I'm not saying that every workout is appropriate for everybody, but it's not an age-related thing. We have to focus on improving it because I like to say muscle tissue is the fountain of youth. So that's what Ponce de Leon really should have been searching for, more so than this fountain that you could drink out of and live forever. They should have been looking for more muscle tissue.
That's a great quote to throw in there. And I too have heard of muscle tissue being referred to as the organ of longevity, really. And I think that absolutely applies. I love that you highlighted that it's not never too late, no matter the age. I often hear, because I work mostly with women, sort of perimenopause, menopause, that type of age bracket, and often it's like, oh no, after menopause, or especially post-menopause, it's so much harder. It might be harder, it might feel harder, but exactly to your point, there are several studies. The research is showing that we can still build muscle with the right training. And if we're pairing that with the right protein intake, with things like your creatine and so on, and of course, lifestyle practices like a good emphasis on sleep and stress management, we can truly achieve quite a few things. And so, throwing in the mindset in there, if someone comes to you with that preconceived notion of, no, it's just normal to lose muscle, it's just normal to become more fragile as we age, how do you work with them, or what tips do you give them in order to overcome that limited mindset, or that limited mindset?
It's the same as in school, right? So in school, let's say that I'm unhappy with my grades and I go seek out my teacher. Now I say to my teacher, I want to do better in school. And they say, well, understood. Let's first evaluate what grade you're in. Let's see what your grades are. And then what we're going to do is we're going to put together the right classwork, the right homework, and the right evaluations, and you're going to see your grade point average improve. We understand that for school. That's a very clear analogy. We've all been through it before. However, in fitness, we don't seem to know that. We think that, oh, it's just unfair. Why don't I have good grades? Or you know what? I'm going to go to the teacher and I'm going to say to the teacher, I'm not going to do the work, but just give me an A plus. Because probably like you, I've heard a lot of people say, well, I'll believe what you're saying when I do well. Well, if I said to the teacher, give me an A plus and then I'll do everything you say, it doesn't work that way, right? We have to do the right classwork, homework, and evaluations, and you'll see your grades improve. Here, the classwork happens to be what we're doing fitness-wise, building our muscle tissue, increasing our metabolism, moving better. Our homework is going to be our nutrition, our diet, our food. That's mostly what you're going to be doing on your own at home. And then your evaluations will start improving in a clockwork type of a fashion. And what you're going to see is your grade point average improve more and more and more. Now, you might say, but it's unfair. Somebody I know has improved quicker than me. Somebody, or when I was younger, it used to be faster. Look, same thing in school. Everybody probably knows somebody that didn't have to study that much or do too much work, and they got amazing grades. In fact, my best friend growing up was the valedictorian, and I always kind of resented and teased him for it because he didn't study that much. And I was the kind of student that had to really spend a lot of time, really focus. I was capable of good grades, but oh my goodness, I put in so much more time than my buddy, and I kind of resented it. Fitness is the same thing. Most people aren't super fast. Most people aren't super slow. Most of us, just like school, are somewhere in the middle. So you do have to work for it. You might not be the next great Olympic athlete, but you do have to work for it. But you'll see it improve steadily, just like your grades over time. And when you take that mindset, it completely changes the whole paradigm of what I deserve, what I should have, what arguments I could build, what victim mindset I'm going to throw out there. And you start looking at it like school, and it makes total sense.
I think this is the most brilliant comparison. I have never heard that before. I have heard many analogies or metaphors when it comes to weight loss endeavors and mindset, but I think that also shows that it's not something you can do once and it's you're done with it. Because many people think, oh, 6 week diet, I'm gonna get that weight off, and then I'm gonna go, and then that's it. I'm gonna go back to quote unquote normal, whatever the heck that means for them. But this just shows if you go to school, I mean, you can't say, oh, I'm gonna give it my all in this semester, and after that, I'm slacking off again. So no, it's a continued education effort. You need to put in the work.
Well, Lisa, that's exactly what most people do, though. So they do what they'll say is, "Oh, for 6 weeks, I'm gonna go to the gym every day. In fact, I'm gonna do double sessions. I'm gonna go pure keto for 6 weeks. I'm gonna try to be perfect, and I'm gonna cut my calories down to nothing." Then they go back to their old lifestyle. That in school we call cramming. I'm not gonna do what good students do. I'm gonna not pay attention. I'm not gonna go to class. I'm not gonna take notes. I'm not gonna study my notes. I'm not gonna do my reading. But for the 2 nights before my final, or the 2 nights before my midterm, I'm going to stay up all night long and I'm going to try to cram it all in. And maybe, hopefully, I could pull off a decent grade. Maybe. And then they go back to their old not being a great student again. So instead of doing that, we can just copy what a good student would do in school. A good student in school would go to class. They'd go to all classes. They would take great notes. They would ask questions. They would participate. They would do their homework. They would complete their assignments. They would do their reading. And because of it, their grade point average would improve. They would see that. They would have a good grade point average. They wouldn't be cramming, which is what we do with our fitness and diet.
Again, I think it's a great point that you also mentioned asking questions. I always say some of the most successful, or the most successful clients that we have, they want to understand. It's not just give me a meal plan, I'll follow that. I don't really care about why or whatever. Because if you understand why your protein is roughly set at this and that target, or why your first meal of the day should include protein as opposed to just being pure carbs or whatever, then it makes sense to you, and you're gonna do that forever, hopefully, or so, as opposed to just thinking I'm gonna need to follow that plan or that recipe or whatever for the rest of my life. So asking questions and actually wanting to understand. We don't all need to have a passion for something. Other people have a passion for finances. I certainly do not. Nonetheless, I should learn a little bit about finances in order to grow my wealth if I want to be wealthy. And likewise, if someone wants to have a healthy body, they should probably know at least the basics for of nutrition and so on. And initially, when we started, you mentioned you're excited for people to learn that they can take their own health into their hands and that they often likely don't need all the medication or medical help that they think they require. So what's a way that we can move away from that sick care more that we have and looking more into nutrition as a way of prevention, or what might be some actionable steps for people to take to go into that direction?
Yeah, no, it's an awesome question regarding strategy for it. What I typically do when I meet somebody for a consultation is even before that, I want to see where their mindset is. So if somebody, as you mentioned, is over the age of 45 and maybe their body fat is elevated on medication for anything from diabetes, heart-based problems, blood pressure, thyroid disorder, it could be a lot of those things or a combination of them. Before I start giving them a strategy, because being in this field so long, I just want to jump off right out at them and tell them what to do to fix it. But my first question I'll ask them now is, why is this important to you? Why? You've been taking medicines right now. You see your doctor all the time. In fact, you spend most of your weeks in a waiting room. Why is this important to you now? And I want to hear what the reason is. And then usually I'll follow it up with a question because they didn't expect that one and they really won't expect this one is, I'll say to them, why are you worth this to you? Why are you worth it? I want to hear them give me that answer because I don't think anybody's ever asked them the question, why are you worth it to you? I don't mean to me. I never ask a client to try to justify themselves to me. I want them to justify themselves to themselves because that is the number one relationship that they have to get a handle on. What are they trying to accomplish and why is it important to them and why are they worth improving. Once they get that down and think about it, then we could get into strategy because your mindset controls, it's the mothership, it controls all of that. Then we input the strategy, the diet strategy, the fitness strategy, and voila, wonderful things happen. So, as I was alluding to earlier, this whole thing can be quite effortless and easy. If somebody says to me they want to drop body fat, get off medication, and become healthier, boy, that's about the easiest thing you could ask me to help you do. They'll say, well, what are some of the harder things? Well, if you were trying to perform in a sport and we had to do sports-based performance or something like that, that's really difficult. If you were very injured or immobile and we had to try to get that back again, that's harder too. We have to do a lot of technical things. But dropping body fat and getting healthy and regaining your life is really much easier than most people are making it. Number one, decide. Number two, talk about to yourself why you're important. Number three, handle it just like school. You have to have the same type of learning mindset. If you do all of those things, we'll put the strategy in and you're going to do great.
I love it. It sounds very simple. It's certainly not easy, but it sounds simple. I think the hardest part for people, and going back to the school aspect, the hardest part for people is staying consistent, being consistent, and with that, going back to some of the things we spoke before, not doing things that are super extreme, focusing on the small things, doing them daily, even taking things like creatine daily. It's about the consistency with that. If you take a double dose of creatine once and then nothing for 2 weeks, you're throwing out money out of the window. That's not saturating anything in your muscle cells. So consistency with everything, and I love having that foundation of knowing your why, of being really, really strong. Like, am I doing this just for me? Am I doing this so that I'm around for my grandkids longer? Am I doing this so that I can live on my own for longer without requiring help or anything like that? I think once you're so clear on that and you can remind yourself of that in tough moments where you're just so tempted to go back to your previous way of living or what is quote unquote normal. And we now know that normal means being sick most of the time or dying of heart disease and everything else, which might have been preventable.
Yeah, so if a person comes back and says, well, my doctor said I should, I stop them right there. I said, you are under no obligation just to please your doctor. That's not going to last. You can't do it for anybody other than yourself. Also, too, Lisa, you probably hear this as well. I hear this underlying tone all the time of people that, and I don't mean to sound like somebody's first grade teacher here, but they don't believe in themselves. They don't believe that either they're worth it or they don't believe they can do it. That is really cutting yourself short and making this process harder than it needs to be. It really does. You're going to have a hard time getting an education if you don't believe you can get an education. You're going to have a hard time tying your shoe if you don't believe you can tie your shoe. Now, I'm not saying that it naturally will come to you overnight. I'm not saying that at all. You do have to work for things. In fact, anybody that's gone to school, they didn't hand out degrees overnight. Anybody that's ever accomplished anything in life, in career, in athletics, it didn't happen overnight. But if you don't believe you can ever accomplish these things, what chance do you really have? So you must believe in yourself that you could pull it off, and you need nobody other than yourself. You don't need your doctor just telling you and barking at you to be better and get less medication. You don't need a spouse. You don't need anybody. You need yourself. You need yourself and believe. Then we'll put the strategies in there. Yes, we're going to build some muscle. Yes, we're going to keep blood sugar levels low and insulin levels low with your diet. You're going to lose a lot of body fat. And yes, of course, as you mentioned, consistency. You can't just do it one off. We're not cramming here. We're doing it as a good student. We're going to become a good student so you could reap the benefits every day of your life.
Wonderful. Absolutely. And yeah, unfortunately, that lack of self-belief usually turns into a self-fulfilling prophecy in the way of self-sabotage because you're just gonna execute exactly what you believe. So no, turning that around and first of all, becoming aware of it and then turning it around and getting guidance, getting help, getting accountability, those are really, really the big pointers. But Derek, thank you so much for all the wisdom you have shared with us today. I'm really excited for people to go check out the Liquid Gold and with that, your ebook and anything else that you offer on your website and just in general to learn more from you. So certainly go and follow Dr. Derek, please. And yeah, thank you for your time. It's been a true pleasure speaking with you.
Lisa, I had a lot of fun today. This was great. I always enjoy this message, of course. And thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
I hope you enjoyed my conversation with Derek. Thank you so much for tuning in. Go and give us both a follow on Instagram or YouTube. And remember, if you want personalized help with your nutrition and fitness goals, we'd love to guide you. One more thing before you go, if you are looking for premium supplements, our partner Fat Muscle Project has got you covered. Head to their website for the best protein powders, creatine, vitamin D, and more, and feel free to use our code NCL for your chance to win a $250 gift card every month. Thank you for listening.